Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. Thanks to Nick Howell for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mackenzie. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being on. So we've got a lot to talk about today. You're kind of a longtime podcaster and Power Press user. In fact, much longer than I am. So we'll get into a bunch of that later on, but I've got a news article to talk about real quick, a podcast chronicle, and then we'll move into everything to do with your shows and whatnot. Sound good?
Can we start? Can we start by saying happy 50th birthday to the Power Press Podcast?
Yes, this is episode.
Congratulations!
Thank you. This is episode 50. So that didn't really occur to me until I started to do some notes real quick yesterday for the show in preparation. And I know I don't put episode numbers, but it is episode 50. Just so everyone knows.
Fantastic.
All right. First news article, actually only news article for this episode, but it is called Where is Hollywood Looking for Its Next Hit Podcast? It's basically talking about how podcasts are becoming TV shows, whatnot. It's, I don't know how I feel about it.
Being in Los Angeles, this strikes a bit of a nerve for me. And I originally came to Los Angeles. I've been here a little over 10 years now, came out in 2006 for not to, quote, chase the dream, but I came out here just to for a change of pace. Mm-hmm. I worked in tech at the time and, you know, enterprise high tech stuff. And I was instantly surrounded by all of these people that were chasing the dream, so to speak.
Right.
They're your actors, actresses, your directors, your crew, your grips, everything that's in those mile long credits at the end of a film. Those are people. And those are their jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of those middle class kind of blue collar union jobs. And it is a big deal for people to get that kind of work. Now, on the other side of the camera, in front of the camera, is your talent. And what's happened is this celebrity culture that we live in today is dominated by a very small handful of folks that are already mega rich. Mm-hmm. Most of them are. So we went through this whole process about 3 or 4 years ago with the rise of what was known as web series, where people that were tired of trying to chase and deal with the studios and the availability of technology, such as home video cameras or the quality and all of that stuff, it caught up finally. So you could go out and for less than $1,000, buy a good microphone and a good camera and a laptop with GarageBand and Final Cut on it, and all of a sudden you can make a movie or you can make a TV series. The problem with that is that there's a lot of, I don't want to use the word mediocrity, but there's a lot of things that you learn making films and things like that that, you know, prohibit it from really succeeding or being good. Mm-hmm. There are seasoned things that you can pick up and really well-produced content. And I think a little bit of that is starting to happen to podcasting now as well. And where this article specifically is going is that now that the actors have owned the films, owned the TV shows, they came and took over the voiceover industry to an extent where they're getting more roles than kind of no name, but really talented voiceover artists. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing this voiceover by so-and-so celebrity that really doesn't need the job.
Exactly.
Now it's kind of happening to podcasting as well. And I think where this really comes from is they're looking for new original content. And that's a good thing. But this article specifically calls out a show called Homecoming.
Mm-hmm. The show Homecoming came out this fall, I believe.
Kudos to the writers. It's really well done. But, you know, again, you have a case of instead of finding the people that wrote it or getting them to voice it or any of that stuff, it's David Schwimmer and it's names. You're using names. And that's not to say that they're not good actors, but there's a million people that could possibly do this that aren't going to cost you a ton of money. Mm-hmm. But I get that there's an element of exposure to it and I get all of that. But you know, this is kind of what happens is I don't want this to turn into another celebrity only thing because it'll kill the world of podcasting. You know, there's definitely that difference between celebrity voiceover, celebrity podcasting versus, and you've got plenty of celebrities that are to have their own podcast as a means of passive income in a sense. Mm-hmm. But you've also got millions of these indie podcasts that are out there and they need just as much exposure as well.
I feel so conflicted a lot of the time because I am one of those people that generally will flock to the shows that are more highly produced and come from a network such as, you know, NPR or Gimlet or something like that. But I also promote and help and encourage all the indie podcasters in situations such as the one that you're just talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they supposed to float up? How are they supposed to get the audience? How are they supposed to get the recognition and the popularity that some of these other shows do, simply because they're coming from a place where people know good shows already come from, and from people that have watched Friends and they know that they like this person. So of course they're going to listen to it. Of course they're going to go to that instead of something else that they might be interested in, simply because they know these people's names.
Right.
So sometimes I don't know what to do about that.
No, it's a good conflict to have. And listen, I may seem very down on this, but this is a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Having too much content is not a bad problem.
No, it's not.
I think what this article is really leading the reader down the rabbit hole of is that Hollywood is now looking to people that write these shows as potentially turning them into either audio dramas or putting them into actual TV development. So I could see this, you know, especially with this true crime genre that we're seeing a huge bubble in right now.
Yeah.
And there's tons and tons of true crime shows that are out there. The difference is kind of scouring through all of the various shows that are out there and finding the ones that are truly investigative, not just regurgitating old news articles,
mm-hmm.
and maybe come to an actual resolution of some sort.
Yeah,
so all of those things combined, there is definitely a division of the studios that are out there looking for well-written original content. And if podcasting is the medium for that, if you're a writer of this kind of audio drama or investigative reporting kind of true crime content, be wary. There's people out there scrubbing through looking for really good stuff, and you may get approached
mm-hmm.
By some place to develop this into a TV show.
So yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that approach. Something that I read.
Just know that you're not going to be voicing it. It's going to be David Schwimmer or somebody else.
I'm okay with that too.
So that's kind of the middle line we have to tiptoe over.
Yeah. I don't know. It was near the end of the article, I believe. This just didn't really sit with me right. It said that they're considering developing podcasts first in hopes of one day turning them into a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily just creating them for the sake of creating the podcast, but in hopes of creating content in other forms later on.
Because Hollywood wants a guarantee.
Yes.
They don't take risks anymore like they did in the 80s, 70s, yes. and 80s.
I think that's my issue with this.
If you look at comic books and comic book movies, there's a built-in audience there, plus you bring in a net new audience. If you look at Harry Potter, Hunger Games, anything that was a 50 Shades even, you've got an established audience from the book itself. So this is no different. They're wanting to go out there and find podcasts that already have a built-in audience that are automatically going to convert.
I know. It makes me sad a little bit.
Yep. So that's life in Hollywood right now.
Yes, and it is.
The reality era that we live in, hopefully is ending very soon, is kind of what has driven this. The studios won't take risks. They want guarantees.
No, they will take whatever is scripted and bank on it to make it as easy as possible. So not always great from the content creator side of that, as you know, someone that is creating on a regular basis, a little frustrating to see, but you know, it helps people at least acknowledge what a podcast is.
Yeah. I mean, the most of the movies that I'm excited about this year, I mean, if you look at Charlize Theron is doing Atomic Blonde,
mm-hmm.
good kind of, while it might not be an original concept, it's female-led action star kind of thing that's not a superhero movie.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Let's get excited about that. The John Wick movies, similar kind of format, but they were excited. While they were developed from, I believe it was a graphic novel or a mm-hmm. comic, they were still kind of an original thing that we hadn't really seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's taking, but, you know, what isn't necessarily exposed already.
Right. But what was last weekend? Comic-Con.
Yes.
So all of a sudden now we have the resurgence of all of the next two. I think we've got a slate for all the way out to 2021 at this point, full of just comic book movie after comic book movie. And
yep.
I'm a huge geek. I'm super geeked out about all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I can go to the movies every single month to see the next new comic book movie 12 months a year.
That feels financially irresponsible to me based on how much it costs to see one movie.
Yeah.
So
I believe you're in Ohio. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, it takes me, let's see, it's $10 to park, and then my ticket is about $26 if I want to see an IMAX movie the weekend it comes out.
That is a depressing number.
Yeah, so it's the better part. To go see Wonder Woman in IMAX the weekend that it came out, my ticket was literally $30.
That's so disappointing.
So yeah, it is what it is.
Yes.
And they complain about all of this, people not going to the theaters and all of those kinds of things. That's life in Hollywood. That's what living in LA is like. Everything's crazy expensive.
So on that note, I'm going to stick with my free podcast content on a regular basis.
There you go.
As opposed to going to the movies.
Help the little guys.
Yes, I will happily do that. All right, so people beware. Podcasting is coming for possibly your new favorite TV show.
Yeah, just keep an eye out for Hollywood for those emails from anyone that might be interested in the content that you're writing. Mm-hmm. Make sure that whatever website or, you know, when you're doing your show, that you announce a way to get in touch with you, because you never know.
It's
random
true.
People can absolutely reach out.
It is absolutely true. All right. So speaking of people reaching out, you emailed me about being on the show because you have been involved with PowerPress for a very long time.
And yeah, I think I first got into shows. It in 2011.
Yeah. I didn't even I listened to podcasts, but creating one that literally had not even crossed my mind in 2011. So you have a network called Orbital Jigsaw.
I do.
How many shows do you have on there?
Currently there's 4. Okay. Probably have 10 by the end of the year.
That's a lot more.
That's the goal.
That is a lot more shows. In half a year, not even half a year. So I wish you good luck with that.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started with this.
Well, I mean, if we go back to 2000, I was an early listener to This Week in Tech, the Leo Laporte guys, mid to late 2000s. That was my jam. I was a huge geek. I was working in tech. I loved Leo and his coverage of consumer products and things like that. It was awesome. That they also had a lot of other side shoot shows that were, you know, how to install this and working on your PC, you know. So, I mean, I'm the perfect audience for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved into, you know, the vendor side of the tech industry, it became very apparent that there was a gap that HP, NetApp, VMware, these big tech names did not have podcasts. And I was always going, why?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my boss one day and I'm like, what if we started a podcast that was basically a way that we could reach out to our field and just have an instant way on a weekly basis to have a conversation with them, and that they would easily be able to digest it whenever they wanted to.
Right.
And I got a lot of raised eyebrows and what's a podcast and all the million questions you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, whatever, just go do it the best you can. Here's $1,000 for everything you need and figure it out.
Right. This is all you.
Oh, and by the way, it's not part of, you still have to do your real job. If you want to do this off on the side for fun, that's fine. So off I go.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea what I was doing. And it's the common story we all hear. Everybody goes through the paces, you know, your first 10 or so episodes, you're kind of figuring out what you want to do. And, you know, a couple years later, 80 something episodes before I ended up leaving them. And we had, thousands of listeners every week, most of them employees and, you know, partners and things like that. But I was sold. The hook had me. I was absolutely in to do podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a matter of time before I got to be able to do what I wanted to do in a podcast format. So I started a show called The Concession Stand. And it's a show where me and one of my best friends just get to be geeks. And we talk about TV and movies and video games.
Sounds good.
And originally the idea was bigger than that, because we also included consumer tech, a little bit of wrestling, and, you know, a few other things. So it was this one hour giant variety show every single week that we had to plan and put together and do all of these things around.
Mm-hmm.
One day we just started thinking about it. Well, certain people are giving us feedback. They don't like that. They'll listen to one or two segments, but they don't listen to the other things.
Would have been one of those people. That would listen to some, but not all.
We have people that love the TV and movies stuff, but maybe don't play video games, mm-hmm. or don't watch wrestling, or don't care about the tech. So we kind of started spitballing this a little bit. Well, why don't we just split those off into their own shows? It's not like there's not enough content to talk about. True. There you go. That was the seed of where the network came from initially. So we've broken concession stand down to just TV and movies. We have a full-on, almost, it's 2 hours every week, wrestling show that we also do on the network that we was originally spawned out of that. Mm-hmm. We've split off tech. It's in development right now to be potentially a YouTube channel, hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay, cool.
One of those little five-minute quick update videos that you see. Mm-hmm. And then the video game stuff has kind of been the last stalwart, but we've recently in the last couple of weeks are breaking that off and looking at that. So when you end up with all of that, you end up with multiple shows across the board.
Definitely.
And that's, you need somewhere to put them all.
Yes.
And that was where the network came in. And off the back of that, we've recruited a couple of other shows and began, once I built the platform, I spent about 3 months building the website and the platform where it would just be bolt on for any new shows that wanted to come and join. So we take care of the hosting via Blueberry. Mm-hmm. So I've got we use category podcasting within PowerPress.
Right.
And basically that allows me to give each show its own category. And if you understand PowerPress, it's everything is kind of built around the category.
That's how everything is kept separate. And you can tell that it's a different show and it has a different feed and, you know, you're getting the content that you want and not just.
Absolutely. Yeah. Each show, we've built it so that they have their own landing page based on that category URL. And it's fantastic. So we're kind of in phase one of the network launch. We're getting ready. I'm working right now literally on coding the store, putting all of that up so that each of the shows can sell their own individual merchandise and swag and all of that good stuff that each show likes to do. But yeah, getting the ultimate goal of this is to build the ultimate goal of this that I tell all of the other hosts is that I built something really cool and I want you guys to come play with my toys in my sandbox. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to is I want to find good people. To me, the content is secondary to the people that you work with. And I want to make sure that the right people come and join the network that are going to have the same kind of passion for podcasting, sharing their story, sharing their content, et cetera, as that being primary, taking priority over the content that you're producing. Of course, we only want high quality stuff. We kind of have a filter for that. But no, it's been a huge adventure to get this off the ground and to see it grow the way that it has.
I think you're definitely on the right track there, because with podcasting, yes, obviously the content is super important and, you know, you're going to strive for high quality and figure out how to get that out of, you know, what you're providing. But I feel like a lot of the time when you get the people that you want to work with and stay working with in a partnership type of thing like that, it's pretty important in a podcast, because the person that they are on the show a lot of the time is who they are in the real world. You know, it's not one of those actor situations where they might be a great actor, but they suck as a person. Like, if you suck as a person, you're probably going to suck on the podcast too.
Absolutely. So are you dependable? Are you passionate and excited about your show every week you put it out? Or you can get a vibe off of people or whether or not they're, you know, are you going to be in this for the long haul? Or are you going to quit in 3 months? Mm-hmm. That's kind of a little thing that I look out for as well. So
that's very smart. Yep. How long have you been working on this network thing?
It's been evolving since last summer.
Okay.
We really just solidified it probably and launched the new website, I believe, in April, end of April this year. So just in the past, 2 months now, 3 months, we've brought two shows on board. The migration process is not trivial, unfortunately. You do have to pre-stage a lot of the content for the new feed so that when you do the 301 redirect, it's completely seamless and transparent to your audience, your subscribers.
Yeah.
So there is a ton of upfront, especially if you've got 50-some episodes. I was lucky enough to get one show that had 10 episodes and one show that had... and not so lucky to get another show that had 55 episodes. So it took a little bit of time to put up 55 blog posts and upload 55 MP3s and, you know, just go through that process. That takes weeks. That takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of time if you want to have it. If you have a certain way set in your head and you want to actually get it done that way, then it's going to take a little more time. I mean, you said that you worked on this website for months, and I very much appreciate that. And in a world of instant gratification and satisfaction and whatnot, I try to get people to stop that a lot of the time, because we strive to make things easy and simple and, you know, make it quick for them, but we don't want it to be quick in terms of quality, I guess. I don't know how to say that, but
no, it kills the appreciation for the amount of work that's gone into something.
Yeah. And a lot of the time I feel like if you're doing something quickly and necessarily cutting corners, I'm one of those people that's going to be able to tell and not like it. And that stays in my head. I will judge something off of that based on how much time you have spent on it, because that kind of shows me, you know, do you care about getting this out or do you actually care about getting it out well?
Yeah. No, we spent a lot of time building this with a mobile first approach. And that was actually more difficult than I anticipated.
Yeah.
So when you look at it on the desktop, it does have I don't really love it because it looks a little plain, but the minute I pull it up on my iPad or my iPhone, it looks incredible.
Right.
And I have to continue to remind myself of that because we kept it so simple on the actual desk or the, you know, full size desktop version, that in turn makes it look amazing on the mobile platforms.
It does.
You know, including the Blueberry player, PowerPress player and stuff like that. It looks fantastic.
I was trying to book a hotel or, you know, just look at something online on my phone today and just, I gave up because the website was such crap on my phone. I was like, I'll do this later when I'm home, when I'm on a real computer. So as we are getting more mobile, a lot of people need to actually consider what they're doing on their websites. And just because it's pretty there, it doesn't mean it's pretty or even manageable on a phone or an iPad or something, which is a lot of the time what people are using more and more often.
With the advent of HTML5 and responsive websites, and you can actually build two different websites and have them detect where they're coming in from. So that's something we're probably going to work on down the road, is have a more elegant built out solution for a desktop or a laptop user at when they visit the site. But for right now, I'm 100% mobile. I think everybody's listening to podcasts on their phones or mobile devices, at least the large majority.
Right.
And they're probably, when you tweet something, it's probably coming up on their mobile device. Mm-hmm. They're clicking on that and they're probably going to your website on the mobile device. And I think it's something like 80%+ of all internet traffic is done on mobile devices at this point.
That's a large number.
So that's more than a majority.
Yeah.
I don't know what that word is, but that's more than a majority of traffic. So, and I'm seeing those trends, you know, as well in our stats.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we made the right decision. I think we're doing, it's going to go gangbusters. The hard part is kind of redoing this again now for, you know, a swag store, a merch store for people that want to support the various shows. Mm-hmm. Now we have to go back at it again with this mobile approach to some existing store platforms. That gets tricky.
So what are you doing for the merch?
Right now it's still in the works, but we're definitely going to use WooCommerce with WordPress. And right now we're shopping around for different fulfillment platforms that tightly integrate things like Scalable Press, Threadless. We're looking into those guys. Cafe Press is also in that conversation. They've been around forever. They've been around since the late 90s. So there's a front end to merch and there's a back end to merch. And WooCommerce is great at doing the front end for your website, but there's still a whole back end of credit card and PayPal processing and then shipping and then who's going to print the shirt and all of that stuff that goes on once the order is placed.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how quickly that relationship for the whole commerce thing ends of, hey, we'll do all the pretty stuff to sell your stuff, but we don't want to be involved in anything after that.
Right. Yeah. When you go to a website and you buy a show's t-shirt, understand that there is a ton of work that went on the back end.
Yeah.
To make. So when it's $29, it's a little pricey for a t-shirt, but understand that there's a lot of work that went into giving you the ability to push add to cart to get that t-shirt sent to your mailbox.
And to, you know, put in your credit card information. Easier said than done.
Right, exactly. And we're, you know, there's fees involved for all that too, and taxes, and there's accounting stuff that we didn't even mention. So I love going to Teespring. I love going to 80s Tees. I buy all kinds of stuff on those shirts, and I'm over the moon that they have that kind of stuff for us. And I love when I see some of the Facebook podcast groups and all of the other listeners and other hosts are wearing other shows' t-shirts. Yes. That, to me, just geeks me out, and I mad respect for that kind of stuff.
Actually, that reminds me, since you are in LA, are you considering going to Podcast Movement next month?
Considering, no, going absolutely.
Okay, good.
I will definitely be there. I actually got a surprise, and I got to do one of the voiceovers for the podcast awards.
Oh, sweet.
So announcing the nominees and stuff like that. So definitely going to be there. Looking forward to hanging out with Jared and Dan from the Podcast Movement. They're the co-founders of the event. And all, you know, what's funny enough is, as entertainment focused as LA is, there's not a lot of podcasters, or at least well known out here outside of the celebrity circles.
Yeah.
You know, the Joe Rogans of the world and Corollas of the world that are here. But there's not a lot of indie podcasting happening here like there is everywhere else in the world. And that's very surprising to me, because LA is one of those cities that are so spread out. Anaheim's 20 something miles away, but it'll take me an hour and a half to get there.
Yes, it will.
So it's one of those kinds of things. So it doesn't seem like that far away. But it's a haul. I'm still going to get hotel rooms, because driving that back and forth is ridiculous. Even though it's only 20 miles away.
Yeah, that's just not a fun situation there. You have to make a week out, or like whatever days that it is.
No, I think we're going to stick around. We'll do Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland or something like that. There's some people that are coming in from out of town that have never been, so hoping to hang out with them, spend some time with them, and you know, it's a rare occasion that we get to do something like that. So.
Good.
I'm assuming the Blueberry crew will be at Podcast Movement as well.
I shall be there, as well as three other people from the team. So I'm looking forward to being there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. No, I'll definitely definitely come by and say hi to you guys for sure.
I know. It's actually nice to meet people, especially after I've talked to them on the podcast. So I'll be happy to see you.
Well, hey, one other thing I was hoping we had time to bring up was SoundCloud.
Yes.
If you don't mind. SoundCloud, I'm sure everybody at this point has heard. I know Todd and Mike have talked about it extensively over on the other podcast, the Your Podcast show that you guys do. But it's in dire straits. And coming from the tech industry, coming from the world of Silicon Valley, there are some inside tells, I guess is the best word I want to use, that while a lot of this press is going around, that we've kind of known in the inner circles of the very kind of incestuous Silicon Valley circles, that we've seen this coming. Yeah. And it wasn't until, I think it was the TechCrunch article from about a month ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, that people really started to go, oh my God. But all the time I hear people saying in various places, oh, I'm just going to ride it out. They'll be okay.
That seems I'm like,
you don't understand what you're saying. And I think one of the things that Todd clocked onto really early in the Blueberry world is own your feed.
Yeah.
And I think what people don't understand is that they're going to lose all their subscribers. They're going to lose their assuming that the SoundCloud power cords just get yanked out. Let's assume that scenario, that the worst case scenario.
It doesn't seem impossible based on what we've heard so far. That seems like quite possibly what might happen at some point.
And it's a European-based company. You've got there's all kinds of things going on. We have no idea what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So between Blueberry, Libsyn, Podbean, all of the other ones that are out there that you can't possibly go wrong with in a weird way. I mean, there's all pros and cons of all of them. You're gonna voluntarily select to stay on SoundCloud. You're going to go stand on the bow of the Titanic and play your violin like nothing's happening.
That was a very nice comparison.
It's
enjoy that.
Here's the thing. SoundCloud is literally the easiest one to move off of. Mm-hmm. And when you get into the conversation of 301 redirects, there's a couple of things to understand. One is you normally have to involve, I'm sure even with Blueberry, you have to involve support to have a 301 redirect put in. 301 redirects are permanent redirects of your feed to another feed. And the analogy I like to use is you're moving, you're not going on vacation. Right. You need to tell the post office that your new address is this permanently. The beauty of that is that it also tells all of the apps that you're using, including iTunes, that you've now moved, and it will update your feed.
Right.
So that's the purpose of a 301 redirect. SoundCloud, you can go into the settings, the content tab, and there's a field called subscriber redirect. And all you got to do is put your new Blueberry feed in there. Bam, 301 redirect. It's so easy to do on SoundCloud. That's it. Well, there's some pre-staging work you have to do. Obviously, you have to put up all your WordPress posts. You have to put up all your MP3s and pre-stage all of that content to populate your new, what will be your new Blueberry feed.
Mm-hmm.
But once that's done, once that legwork's done, and it could take you anywhere from a day to a week, but once all that's done, you simply go drop your feed URL into that setting on SoundCloud, and within 10 minutes, it's done. It's all automated.
Not to mention, we are here to help people with that.
Absolutely. And you guys have been great about that. You've got the migration tool that will, all you got to do is put your feed into it and it'll suck in all your MP3s. Mm-hmm. And then you just select, listen, I will volunteer. If you are a struggling show that is trying to figure out how to get off of SoundCloud, reach out to me. You can, orbitaljigsaw.com, use the contact form. You can absolutely reach out there and I will help you get off of SoundCloud, but please don't be the one that's going to be standing there with one posting in Facebook asking us, oh my God, what do I do now that they've pulled the servers?
Mm-hmm.
When your feed goes down and you've lost all your subscribers, don't be that guy.
I know. Before I got to Blueberry about 2.5 years ago, I just heard Angelo's telling me some, you know, worst situation stories of companies that literally shut down and then 24 hours later, people lose their feed. They lose the episodes that they uploaded. They try to log back into their account and it's just gone. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with SoundCloud, but I'm not saying that isn't a possibility.
Everybody asks me all the time why I stick with Blueberry, And it's that owning your feed mm-hmm. that Todd constantly harps on.
He does.
That I bought into hook, line, and sinker. Because if you look at all of the feeds for all of the shows that we have on the network, they're not something.blueberry.com. They're all orbitaljigsaw.com.
Yep.
So even if Blueberry went up tomorrow, you know, smoking hole scenario, I would still have that feed and I could still go put my MP3 somewhere else, update my feed and put my feed somewhere else, and I'd still have everybody.
That's why we did it.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't our stuff. This isn't our show. We don't want control over your show. We're involved with over 85,000 shows. We don't want to be, Yeah. Between all of our services, 85,000 shows, we're not trying to be involved in all of those on a daily basis. So,
and that's what I tell the people that join the network, that bring their show over, that trust me with their content and their feed. That is, look, I don't, and there's paperwork that involved, but that's there to protect their show. Right. You are 100% in control of your content, whatever you want to do with it. Fine. I will be the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, mm-hmm. pulling levers. Mm-hmm. That let me be that guy.
Definitely.
And most people love that because they don't quite get the tech stuff that's happened. All of the stuff that happens down in the dirty layers of RSS and, syndication and things like that.
What
and
makes
that's
a podcast
where
tick.
My strong suit is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a lot more than just creating a cover art and uploading an MP3. And if I can get it down to that simplicity for anybody that joins the network, that's what really my goal is.
Mm-hmm. You're not trying to.
And of course, we're all going to go make Mega Millions. That's really the other part, right?
Right.
No, we're not.
2049, we'll all be Mega Millionaires off a podcast.
Right. I live in Los Angeles. I'll never be a Mega Millionaire.
No, that's true. Sorry about that, but
it is what it is.
Yeah. So, is there anything else we want to hit with PowerPress or your show or anything like that? Because you've got years of experience across the board for podcasting. So if there's anything that you want to share, then go for it.
Absolutely. I'm anxious to see what this new, two things with the new Apple tags that are coming out. I'm anxious to see what the stats look like. What's up?
Me too. How are you even going to, in my head, I'm picturing how are we going to analyze these?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm curious how that's going to affect Angelo's algorithm for, doing the stats on Blueberry and, other sites as well. How's PodTrack going to handle that now that this kind of listens versus downloads versus partials and all of those kinds of things that are supposedly going to be exposed?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm as a back-end operator, I think I'm mostly interested in that and how that's going to maybe pull the rug back on what's really going on in the iTunes store. I'm skeptically optimistic that that's going to be good news, but I'm fearful that that's going to really expose a lot more than it unveils.
I think it kind of depends on how much weight you give Apple in the first place.
I give them a ton of weight.
Yeah.
I really do.
A lot of people put Apple at the top, which isn't a bad thing to do because they are the biggest, you know, one of the biggest aggregators out there for all of the technology. However, there's a lot of things behind the curtain that happen at Apple that just still isn't understood. And this is one thing that is changing, but there's still so much out there that we don't know.
I applaud transparency almost all of the time. I'm wondering if this is one of those cases where it might not be a good thing. Because it might have some unintended consequences or blowback in that kind of way of, oh, well, I'm not getting as many downloads as I thought I was. I'm going to go use a different platform now. Where the reality is that we're all syndicating to everywhere as to a certain extent. And a lot of these second tier indexes, apps, or networks are pulling directly off the iTunes store.
Definitely.
If you're updating your iTunes listing, you're probably also updating your Google Play listing and all of the third party like Overcast, Pocket Cast, all of the guys that are running the listening consuming apps, they're pulling their stuff from that same feed that iTunes is getting.
I have found that a lot of people don't necessarily understand that. They're like, well, do you know how, if it's not updated here, will it get updated here? And I'm like, you have to understand, they all kind of work on different time zones, you know, of different times of when they're going to do their own thing. But a lot of the time they're pulling from Apple.
Yep. So Apple natively gets, I think it's over 50% of all podcast traffic right now. The last time I checked, it's just, it's 52, 54, something like that. And how the other 50% breaks down is so spread out that it's, you know, a lot of less than 10% across all of the other various ones. So Apple is still the behemoth. It is still generating a lot of the traffic. And whether you listen on the Apple Podcasts app or on Pocket Casts or on Beyond Pod or whatever, Overcast, I believe all of those are being pulled in and indexed from the iTunes aggregation.
Right.
So if it's on iTunes, you're in good shape. Do you need 27 different, you know, listings everywhere else? Probably not.
That's kind of what I tell people a lot of the time. I tell them, focus on getting on iTunes. It's not going to be an issue as long as you follow directions and aren't doing anything that's really going to peeve Apple in that sense. But after that, look at the, you know, kind of gauge what directory is going to actually be important to your show. And if you don't think it's going to help, then don't waste your time.
And frankly, unless you're getting 10,000 downloads an episode where you can go, where you're going to have advertisers beating your door down, it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
It's great little humble bragging to do with your friends and your listeners. But at the end of the day, that should not be your focus. I'm not saying it's not cool.
No, it's just,
Your focus should be on content creation and cadence and consistency and things like that.
I 100% agree. I will tell someone to focus on their content any day over one millisecond of getting into this directory is going to change everything for me, because unless you change your content to wow people, it's not going to change it that much for you.
Right. You know, as far as people that are joining the network, I sign their email address up for the weekly stats, Blueberry Stats newsletter that goes out.
Smart.
That's it. And normally we don't really talk about stats other than some big anomaly that happens, but stats are stats. And, you know, that should not be what you spend your week. There are people that check hourly. And that would drive me insane. I have other stuff to do with my time.
I understand people being anxious and wanting to check on a regular basis.
Right.
But there comes a point where you need to step back a little bit and evaluate what you were doing in the sense of your mental health.
Yes. As far as the other stuff that's coming from Apple is the encoded part. And I'm not really sure what this stuff is. And I don't think anybody's truly explained this properly yet. What I'm hoping for is some kind of rich text or the ability to do hyperlinks and things like that within your show description, your episode description. So I think that's what the encoded content is supposed to be about. I'm hoping. But that's one of those things I don't quite have a clear understanding of. Maybe we get that at Podcast Movement in a month. But that's one of the things I'm excited about, is not having to put a full long URL in there so that it automatically converts it to a tappable link, but being able to embed hyperlinks and words and things like that. Rich content in that spec.
That's true. That would be great. And, you know, for everyone that puts the time into show notes for SEO, that would be great for, you know, whatever directory and app that someone is using for the show. So that would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, all the people that put the time codes in there for what sections cover what thing. I mean, imagine being able to embed a tappable, or to be able to tap on that time and it automatically skips forward to that time. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That is the next step of where podcasting needs to mature and grow up to, is how we consume them. I think the production is there. There's not much more we can do for syndication, production, et cetera. But I think the focus needs to shift to how they get consumed.
I look forward to the day where I can tap somewhere and get to the part of the show that I care about and not have to listen to another Squarespace advertisement.
Oh, come on. That's supporting the show, though.
I know it is.
Not that you're going to, just because you heard it on your favorite show, going to run out and start a Squarespace website, but, you know, it's important for the shows that use those ads to have those ads heard. You know, it's just like TV. It's just like radio. I mean, talk radio is almost completely dead and overrun with ads at this point.
Yes, it is.
And that's because people stopped listening. And it was this compounding effect of less listeners, more ads, less listeners, more ads. So the less people listen to that stuff, the more you're going to get. And eventually it becomes a diminishing return where you just don't have any listeners anymore. So the ads play an important part. Do you need to put 3 to 4 of them in every episode of your show?
No.
No, please don't.
No, you do not. Please. All I'm asking for sometimes is mix up your ads. If you're going to have ads in there, please, every once in a while, just put in a new one. I literally know word for word is a Squarespace advertisement for a show that I listen to, and I am over it. I know how long it's going to be, so at least I know how long to skip.
Or change it up and build it natively into your show every week.
Yes.
Where it's conversational or something, or you just rereading it, something. Make it unique. Don't just snip in the same 30-second clip that you recorded previously.
Yeah, like I'm okay with people, you know, making it part of their intro for the show or whatever, as long as they're actually saying it. But when you copy and paste that into your file, I don't want to listen to it at all.
If you want a gold star example of what I'm talking about, go listen to The Way I Heard It by Mike Rowe. Now, he will do the pretty standard Blue Apron, the socks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But every single time he's reading a unique piece of copy that's been written for that advertisement and building it into the opening of his show, you know, seamlessly.
See, that I don't care about. Go for it. I love that.
That is how you do ads. Not pre-recording a 30-second clip of you reading a script.
Yes.
But build it into your show. That's the best advice I could give somebody.
I wholeheartedly agree. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because, you know, sometimes Marc Maron can make me laugh with when he is going on some rant. And then he just starts into some stupid sentence about how Stamps.com saved his life. But when I listen to someone be like, so if you're behind on your website and you want to get started, go with Squarespace. I'm like, okay, I know what this is. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Make me laugh. It'll do it. I'll listen to it if you can make me laugh. That's kind of all I'm asking for.
When I first started listening to Mike Rose, the reason I used his is because there got a point where I would think he would begin to speak about the content of the episode.
Yes.
And he would begin telling a story in his Mike Rose voice, the way that he does. And all of a sudden it would be about Blue Apron. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. God, he got me again.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm pretty sure Mark got me with that for something about stamps.com one time. And I was like, right. I can't believe I just fell for that. But I did.
So. But it's when you make it fun and engaging and enjoyable like that, it's not, that doesn't mean people are immediately going to go out and sign up for Blue Apron with your affiliate code, but it makes it tolerable to where they don't want to fast forward or worse, unsubscribe from your show.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Because these new Apple stats are going to tell people if they're fast forwarding. So, you know, for a lot of these people out there, they're going to have to improve their advertisements so people at least don't skip through them. Because, you know, there's some companies that will be okay if people are just listening to them and not actually going out and purchasing anything or using the affiliate code or whatnot, as long as they don't straight up skip it. But if people are doing that, then I will tell you right now, you're going to experience some potential pushback from your advertisers that have been paying you all this time. And now they're getting this new information of, oh, we've been paying you. Yep. Not one person has listened to this part.
Yep. I think 6 months from now, we're going to be having some very different conversations.
Yeah.
It's especially those of us that run shows, run multiple shows, run networks, do advertising packages, things like that. The conversation is getting ready to completely change, and I'm hoping it's for the better.
From
the advertiser and the advertisee's standpoint, I'm hoping that it gives clarity, because the problem with Apple for so long has just been this unknown. Like, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going on. We don't know what people are doing. I mean, Angelo's done a pretty good job of, you know, tuning in partial plays and things like that and stuff like that. But that's not really that exposed. It's still not that clear of what is going on in Apple. If they truly open this door, Pandora's box reference, I'm excited and terrified of what's behind that door.
I think that's how a lot of people feel.
Yeah. So we'll see what, if it comes out in what normal, September, October, somewhere in that time frame.
The fall.
Yeah. You know, we'll see what happens. But that's going into holiday season and shopping and all kinds of good stuff. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting fall for sure when it comes to podcasting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Anything else in the podcasting world that we would like to discuss right now at the end of July?
This month has pretty much been all about SoundCloud and everybody running around with their hair on fire about what Apple's going to do. So I think we covered those.
I think we did too. And everything with your show. So that is...
Yeah, so come on over to orbitaljigsaw.com. It's we have four shows over there that are across all various genres. We have the Concession Stand and the Super Nerds UK that are two very different format style of pop culture, TV, film, and those kinds of shows. We have the Dirty Bits, which is doing really well. It's run by Tawny and George Plattis, and it's the naughty, salacious tales of history that your history teacher probably left out.
Oh, that's cool. I would like
a
that.
A lot of fun. And the other one is a little more niche in the sports and rec category. It's called Busted Wide Open, and it's a 2-hour recap show at the end of the week on everything that happened around the world of sports entertainment and professional wrestling, pay-per-views, etc. We cover it all. So
I will check out the other one,
not the wrestling one.
Got yes. It. Yes. But I'm sure there's someone out there that is going to be interested in the wrestling one.
There are hundreds. I'm hoping if we get into the thousands in the next month or so, but it's growing. Believe it or not, that's my fastest growing show.
That's actually really cool to hear.
It's a huge audience that is worldwide. They are very well loved and respected, and it's, believe it or not, one of their shows is the longest running episodic television show in history.
So this might be a really ignorant question, but does wrestling have like seasons or times during the year when it's on or whatnot?
They do.
Okay.
It is on all year, every year.
Okay.
Yeah, but they do consider their season to start around the January, February timeframe with aligned with a certain pay-per-view event.
Okay. See? I'm learning things already.
There you go. And it is a soap opera. And people ask me all the time, what's the allure? It's a soap opera. And if you accept that for what it is, that it's about the drama and that they get in the ring to solve their differences in a soap opera style, there's a story to every match. So that's it. Once you get it, and once you accept that for what it is, as trivial and as simple as it is, if you watch the new Netflix series Glow, they go into that a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the allure of wrestling. For me, it's also a throwback to things I used to do with my late grandfather when I was really young. I remember sitting in his lap while he was chain smoking, watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that was Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant days,
right.
Iron Sheik, and those guys from the 80s. So, for me, it serves several purposes. But I do watch multiple shows of it every week. I do. It is a huge guilty pleasure. I mark out on it constantly and have a blast doing it with another guy that feels the same way about doing that show.
See, that's the important part. You like it.
Yeah, we're having a blast.
Yeah, good.
And if we can talk about it for 2 weeks every week, I mean, there's something there.
Yes. That is very important when starting a show because, you know, you're going to talk about this on a regular basis. You better like it a whole lot or you're going to get bored real quick and so is your audience.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Nick. Everyone, go ahead and check out. You want to give them the website real quick again?
Yeah, absolutely. It's orbitaljigsaw.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter as well. And all of the shows have their own social media and they're all right there on the site. So orbitaljigsaw.com is the hub of everything. You'll see all the shows there, and you can find their individual pages and social stuff.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me, Mackenzie. I appreciate it.